song has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
It's Jerry Tagge calling signals after a 67-yard march.
Wiley stands at his own 24, waits for the snap. Rodgers deep for Nebraska. Here's Wiley's kick. It's high. It holds up there. Rodgers takes the ball at the 30. He's hit and got away. Back up the field to the 35, to the 40. He's at the 45.
He turns, flips her off to Rozier. Rozier turns, he's running back around the field. He's trying to get away. He's looking for blockers. He turns upfield. He's going to run a touchdown!
Touchdown! Close to the eye, snap to Tommy, and they give him the trap play, and it's Schlesinger inside the five! And there for the touchdown! He's got the touchdown! It's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger, and Nebraska takes the lead! It is history! 13-0!
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hey, we want to say a big thank you to all those folks that came out and joined us for the Husker Sports Network and Sports Nightly's trip to a Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill last night. Full house, great attendance. A lot of people were there early, and then it just kind of rotated through for the full 3 hours. I want to thank Lane Grindle and Greg Sharp and Joe Gans and the guy in the red shirt. But basically, Joe and Lane and Greg for being there. I had a great day yesterday. I want to thank the folks at the Hastings Elks Country Club for allowing us to do the show there yesterday. Got to play their course. That's actually the first time I've played it. Derek's played it before. Fair, nice. If you hit it straight, you're going to be in pretty good shape. And so a nice course over there.
If you can putt. If you can putt, you would have had a great round.
Well, we won't talk about the greens. I mean, which had nothing to do with my putting because it stunk again. But it was okay. We had a good day yesterday, had a lot of fun, and hope everybody involved had some fun as well, whether it was at the golf course, whether it was at Bullseyes, or whether you had to do a little work with it. Thanks to everybody that came out and saw us. And again, yesterday, Daddy, also that kind of coincided with that, it worked out well because with Bullseyes and all their televisions, you could catch the recap. Yesterday was Nebraska Day on ESPN's College Football Live. They talked to Tom Osborne. Surprising that they would talk to Tom and not Bo, huh? But they talked to Tom Osborne, the face of the program. Then they put up the poll question, who's the greatest Husker ever? And we'll get into that in just a little bit here, but got a chance to see most of that yesterday on the replay on ESPN. Coming up on the show today, our Big 12 football preview will continue. We head south. I was there this weekend. I was in Lawrence. We'll find out what Dugan Arnett of the Lawrence Journal World has to say about what's going on with Kansas football. That's coming your way around the bottom of the hour. Also, live thoroughbred racing. It's only 4 days, but boy, is it fun. fun at Horseman's Park in Omaha with post time tonight, tomorrow at 6, Saturday and Sunday at 2. We will talk with Greg Hosh.
He owns it.
It's like Perennio out in Vegas. You know, he owns a Mirage. He owns this. It's all his.
I think he'd agree.
And Thursday, Joe DiMeo joins us in our last segment from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. And we won't probably talk a lot of baseball today for two reasons. All-Star break, not much going on. And the football picks have come out. We'll talk to Joe about that. One other thing. Just all of a sudden, allergies today. All of a sudden. Maybe it was the big, huge horse flies that were biting us on about 16, 17, and 18 yesterday. But what's up with that? A little rain comes through, clears things out, and all of a sudden, El Crapo today.
Yeah, temperature-wise, what a brilliant day. But I think you're right. A lot of people flaring up. And I hope those go away and subside. Nonetheless, folks out there, we've got about one more week, and it's all football. And we're going to crank it up from the high school level to the college level. A lot of Husker talk coming your way. And I want you to make sure that you're around your radio next Friday, because it's the Husker Roundtable. And Doug, you did this deal started about 3 years ago. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, I believe Mitch Sherman will be joining us, all three of them at the same time.
Three of the big hitters are going to join us, and it's always fun when they disagree a little bit. I don't know what there will be to disagree about so much this year. There's no quarterback controversy. Everybody seems to be on the same page about the win total within about one, who the tough opponents are going to be. Maybe you talk about – there's so many things. I think – if we had a full hour with no guests today, we could really hammer Huskers today. From what they talked about yesterday on College Football Live to what I believe could possibly be, and I feel sorry for the folks that have to pay the huge exorbitant amount of monies just to keep their seats, to pay for season tickets. Outside of Oklahoma, this, and you – You will include this, but I mean, just think if Oklahoma wasn't coming into Lincoln. This has to be the worst home schedule in the history of Nebraska football, bar none. And if somebody can find me a better one, or a worse one, I guess we should say in this case, if you can find me a worse season of opponents on the home schedule, shoot it off to the Dent Popper inbox or give us a buzz, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. We talked about it when it came out two-plus years ago, that imbecile Steve Peterson, and I wonder how much guff they got when they were in North Platte for Sports Nightly on Tuesday, home of Steve Peterson. But, I mean, when you schedule Arkansas State, Louisiana Lafayette, Florida Atlantic, I mean, there's some love given to Florida Atlantic because it's Howard Schnellenberger, it's a bowl team, they've got – no. Worst home schedule I can find ever in the history of Nebraska football in the modern era of when Nebraska's been winning games. So let's say from 62 on, let's say from the Devaney era on, you pick whatever you want. Worst home schedule history of Nebraska football.
And you look at the conference home games, Kansas State, Iowa State, Texas Tech. Now I leave off Oklahoma because that's the one exception on this schedule, as they will probably enter number one in the country. But that just reeks of pukedness. If it can reek of pukedness,
could you write that down? That new word.
No, I got to get my list over here. Where's my list of new words?
We had one the other day that we didn't put down. Pukedness. Okay. All right. Also, so your thoughts on that?
El Squatoli.
I don't know
what geekdom.
Else. You've written down some really weird words. 888-455-ESPN, the Dent Popper inbox. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Dent Popper inbox. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, Daddy, who's the greatest Husker football player ever? They narrowed it down yesterday to Tommy Frazier, Irving Fryer, Dave Remington, Johnny Rogers, and Mike Rozier on ESPN.
Well, in my era, obviously, I don't go back and remember all the things that Mike Rozier did, although you look at what he averaged, 8.2, 8.3 yards a carry.
Yeah, over 4,000 yards.
That's very, very difficult to argue against Mike Rozier. But for me, it's Tommy Frazier. Right.
Tommy Frazier won the two national championships, although you do have to remember the year that he was out with all the blood clot problems and stuff, and Brooke Behringer started more games that year than Tommy Frazier did. So just as much credit there, although Tommy, you know, was the number one part of that whole team and winning the bowl game and all that. Johnny Rogers may have been the best. But again, when you're a wide receiver kick returner, I mean, I think Tim Brown's the only one I've even seen them, and maybe the Rocket for Notre Dame, maybe where they've utilized that. When I've been watching college football live, it's always a quarterback, always a running back. And Tommy Frazier, great. Johnny Rogers, maybe the best. It's just that he didn't touch the ball every play. But Mike Rozier, I guess it just depends who you watched growing up. Mike Rozier, for me, I will never, ever forget the run against UCLA, which, thank God for the internet now, because you can kind of pull that up about any time you want, but where he reverses field and all that, great. And, you know, Dave Remington, Dean Steinkuhler, some of these guys we've had on the program before, there is just that's the great part about Nebraska football, an endless selection. And you know what? There has to be some people from pre-Bob Devaney. How about Al Zickman? I mean, some of these guys back on the 41 Rose Bowl team.
Scored the touchdown.
I mean, there's some guys back then that have, but they just don't get thought about like a Wizard White does at Colorado, or the Four Horsemen do at Notre Dame, or, you know, pick a school, pick Navy, pick Army, some of the guys that, you know, Doc Blanchard. You talk about some of the guys back there. Nebraska doesn't have that pre-1960 tone. But as we were talking last night with the throngs of people at Bullseye, I said, you know what? You know what this list doesn't have on it? And it has Irving Fryer. And if it has Irving Fryer and Mike Rozier off the same team, I am now going to get on the soapbox a little bit and go, I want to know who you think the most underrated Husker ever is. Why does no one ever talk about Turner Gill?
Somebody was getting the ball to Irving Fryer.
Somebody was running the greatest option in the history of Nebraska. Tommy Frazier, Turner Gill threw the ball better than Tommy. Now, if you want to look at their numbers, you know, it comes, who throws the ball better, how many, I mean, I think Tommy maybe even put it up a few more times in Turner, but how come we always overlook Turner Gill?
I can't answer that question. Yeah, for all the great things, the scoring explosion, the scoring machine that was the Nebraska offense back then, just think of that defense would have been just so-so. You know, give up that many points to Miami. No one was close to that offense.
888-455-ESPN, or you can fire off your thoughts to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Dent Popper, home of the Armor Linings. They've specialized in paintless dent repair for years. So if a little of the weather recently has dinged your car up, stop by and see the boys for a free estimate. The Dent Popper on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center.
If you're going to go Mike Rozier, Doug, and you're going to go that direction, and you're looking for another running back, who's your second favorite running back in Nebraska history?
Well, favorite, and this goes back to when Todd Gatula did an article on the show for the Hub. Favorite and best, okay, this is different. People last night were saying, hey, how come Lawrence Phillips isn't on this list? He may have been the best player ever. Well, we know why Lawrence Phillips isn't on the list, because it would be politically incorrect. My favorite running back, I loved watching I Am Hip and Jarvis Redwine. Loved it. Loved it. Rick Burns. Well, of course, anybody that did anything against Oklahoma, we should love. Let's go to the phone lines here, Derek.
Steve from Lincoln on the line, guys.
Steve, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. Just checking if you guys have the play-by-play of the Eric Crouch run against Missouri that probably gave him the signature run for the Heisman Trophy win. So your pregame or pre-show has all the rest of the Heisman Trophy candidate signature runs. You don't have that one.
Steve, do you know the program very well?
I catch it every once in a while.
Okay, all right. Well, no.
Doug's got a lot of anger.
Now, that I did not intentionally edit out that run. It's just we had to put it down a little bit. I do have the highlight.
We will add that.
I will bring that up, and we will have it by the end of the show. So we do have that highlight. So
that'd be great.
I will find that for you. Steve, thanks for the call. See, I didn't know where Steve was going with that, if he was trying to run me over because I'm not a big Eric Crouch fan or what. Let's check the leaderboard here at the British Open and say Tiger. Everybody's doing it, but not his day. Tom Watson, you've heard about it all morning. Soren Hansen, 5-under through 13. Ben Curtis, a former winner, 5-under through 17. Steve Stricker, Camilo Villegas, Stuart Sink. Miguel Angel Jimenez is on the course at 4-under. Paul Casey, 4-under through 11. Jimenez, one of these days, he's going to do it. And he's off to a good start. And I love that Spaniard. But I like Casey. I just think there's some real good guys at the top of the leaderboard. In fact, Derek, I'm looking. The first guy I see up there, and maybe the casual fan doesn't know Soren Hansen and maybe Matt Goggin up there, which he won't be there at the end. But the first guy I see is a kid named Brandon Grace, who came in with a 67. Steve Marino, who has one on the PGA Tour, you probably don't know a lot about. Frederik Jakobsen has got off to a good start, 3-under through 8. Those are the first names. There's a lot of names above them on the first day. And when there's a lot of great golfers at the top of the leaderboard, it's hard to catch them all.
We go back to 1 year. We're 1 year removed, people, from Greg Norman putting the scores up. And a wonderful story. Had the 54-hole in my 36.
Yeah, 54-hole
lead. Can Tom Watson, do you give him a chance to make a run, Doug?
No. No, what is it, a 1% chance? 1% chance. You hope he does.
Yeah, that's what.
Hey, and Tiger Woods and David Duval shoot the same score. How long has that been? Kenny Perry, all 1 over 71. It's a par 70 course, 7,200 yards. Okay, whatever. So I guess that's good. Otherwise, 7-under would be the lead, and we just can't have that. Although they don't really care so much about that at the British Open. Most of those are not 70, par 70 courses. We got a lot coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show. Dugan Arnett of Lawrence Journal World to preview the Kansas Jayhawks in our Big 12 preview. Also, Greg Hosh from Horseman's Park. He owns it. He manages it. He's the czar. We're going to talk to him next on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Holy shlamola.
What the hell is that?
I've never seen such recklessness.
Just another typical day on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hi, I'm a mud flap from JTM Products. I guess I shouldn't be complaining about my job. It's my job to get... It's a dirty job, but at least JTM Products has the knowledge and know-how to make me look pretty. Oh, boy!
Have JTM Products customize your mud flaps. All sizes, cars, trucks, semis, and minivans. A great gift for car buffs. JTM Products can even do custom design and sizes of mud flaps, too. Always affordable prices. Call JTM Products today. 308-338-FLAP. Online at jtmproducts.com.
Whether it's a power outage or to take along camping, a portable generator is a great thing to have. And Rich & Sons Camper Sales can save you over $300 on a factory-warranted 3,000-watt portable generator. These Kapoor generators safely run even electronic gear. Refurbished with a full 2-year warranty and in stock right now. Normally $1,500, just $1,199. But only while supplies last. At Rich & Sons Camper Sales, South 281 Grand Island.
The first ever ESPN Radio Superstation Golf Challenge is coming August 14th and 15th at Indian Head. You can play either day, $60 a player, prizes in the top three places, top two prizes, cash or gift cards. Log on to ESPNSuperstation.com for details and to download an entry form. Sign up early for shirt size preferences, best date, and tee time selection. Brought to you by Bud Light, Roy's Grand Island Dodge, and ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
I should have yelled, too.
You have fun. When you make it Funner Park.
Put some action entertainment in your weekend. Make it Funner Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge for coast-to-coast thoroughbred racing from 18 tracks, including Belmont, Arlington, and Canterbury. Continuous action from 11:30 a.m. daily. Enjoy Friday night prime rib and racing to midnight from Hollywood Park. Horseman's Park in Omaha now through Sunday at Funner Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge, Grand Island.
We'll see some showers and storms continue to affect the area, especially early today, a few of which may even become severe with high temperatures of 79. Wednesday, variable at 10 to 15. Tonight, we'll fall off to 54 for low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 63.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars in merchandise. Free hot dogs, pop, and giveaways. Coming up Saturday at Wolf Cycle Sports Open House. See the full line of Kawasaki and Suzuki sport bikes, motorcycles, and ATVs. Their enormous selection of helmets and gear at low prices, plus financing arrangements for qualified buyers. Stop by the open house Saturday. Come and see, come and play on all the toys at Wolf Cycle Sports.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hey, congratulations to the Hogan Select 16 and under girls fast pitch softball team. They're the Nebraska Class B state champions. And now they are on their way to Wichita, Kansas to compete in the national championship. And they're trying to raise some funds to help offset expenses for these young ladies by sponsoring a Texas Hold'em poker tournament this Sunday, July 19th, at Fanatics on the Bricks in downtown Kearney. Registration is at 1:30. The tournament begins at 2 o'clock right there at 2021 Central Avenue. It's this Sunday. For more information, or if you want to help donate and maybe can't make it to the tournament Sunday, contact Donna, 627-5299. That's Donna at 627-5299, a benefit Texas Hold'em poker tournament for the Hogan Select 16 and under girls fast pitch team headed to the national championships in Wichita, Kansas. It's this Sunday, July 19th, registration at 1:30, and the tournament will begin at 2 o'clock, and best of luck to them. And I know there's some other teams out there that have captured some state championships. It's that time of the year where it's already winding down for some of these kids. But for the select teams and the travel teams, it's their chance to go to state or go to nationals, as the case may be.
All over Wichita, Kansas. I know teams trying to make it this weekend to go back to the Little League deal in Indianapolis, which happens to be the Midwest region.
We are down to the final nine at the World Series of Poker, and one of the names on there is Phil Ivey, and everybody is going to be rooting for this guy. But the man is Darvin Moon, a 45-year-old self-employed logger from Oakland, Maryland. So here's the deal. Dennis Phillips made it deep. He was your guy last year, your older gentleman that everybody loved from St. Louis. Will Darvin Moon be that guy? He has got almost half the chips, it seems like $58 million and just short of $10 million in his stack for Phil Ivey. Also, Jeff Shulman, a name you may have heard of from Las Vegas, and then pretty much everybody else, no. You got 51-year-old Kevin Schaffel of Coral Springs, Florida. He is the oldest man to make it to the final table. They will battle for this on November 7th in Las Vegas. That's when the final table will start. This whole thing started back on July 3rd. And today is July 15th. That's a long event. Now, I understand there's four day ones, so you only played one of those first 4 days. But basically, these guys have been playing 8 days of poker.
Say Phil Ivey, though, out of all those people, heading in with all those people would have been the favorite. It's amazing he's still remaining. You look at all the people in there and all the hands, it would be interesting to see how many times Phil Ivey has had to go all in. Up to this point.
Put his stack at risk. Well, that's what you got to do, and we'll find out how things go with everything at the World Series of Poker here in 1 month.
Yeah, it takes all the way now until November 7th, so there's a huge break. Huge break. Doug, I know we're going to be joined here by Dugan Arnett from the Lawrence Journal World. Kansas is a team which everybody is talking about across nationally as far as winning the Big 12 North. It's amazing to me, at 5'11", the quarterback, at 5'10", Jake Sharp, how these guys can remain healthy through a full season of Big 12 football. But Todd Reesing's been able to do it. I don't know that he'll be able to do it again. I don't know that he'll be able to do it again. And if he doesn't, then what happens? Does Kerry Meyer move back to the quarterback position? Yeah, we'll have to see. But I can't see them remaining healthy throughout the whole season.
Well, they have got a manageable non-conference schedule with Northern Colorado, UTEP, Duke, and Southern Miss, although people like the direction that Duke is. Duke and Southern Miss both have to roll into Lawrence. So we'll talk Kansas football in just a little bit in our next segment with Dugan Arnett of the Lawrence Journal World as our Big 12 preview, 12 teams in 12 days, continues. But right now, it's an exciting time. They're gearing up. They're busy right there at 63 and Q in Omaha. Horseman's Park begins their live thoroughbred run tonight. Post time is at 6 o'clock, and we are pleased to welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show for the first time the general manager of Horseman's Park, Greg Hosh, joins us, and right in the heart of horse racing country with Fodder Park in our backyard, and everybody's geared up for this. Greg, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Oh, thanks. Glad to be a part of it.
Greg, before we get to Horseman's Park, Steve Anderson said you've got a great pick six story for us at Fodder Park.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty amazing. I was working as a jockey agent at that time, and had Dave King and Dave Shepard were the two jockeys I was working for, and we I was fortunate enough that they won the like four out of the six races, and I hit the pick six, and it was 130 some thousand. And the ironic thing about the pick six is we were out playing golf, Randy Kearns and Steve Hall and a couple of us, and those guys wanted to play nine more, and I said, "Nah, I'm going to go out and bet the pick six." So I catch a train at the railroad crossing. And so I'm picking, making my selections there, and spent $16. And two guys that I had split with for 2 days, Steve Hall and Warren Wisenhan. Steve didn't show up naturally. I went and asked Warren, and Warren said, now he says, "I already bet my own ticket." I said, "Well, okay." So I bet my own, and well, the rest is history.
This sounds like the same luck my co-host, the Big Daddy, has. So Greg went on, he parlayed that $130,000 into purchasing Horseman's Park, and of course now you're the czar of Omaha Racing, correct?
Well, I wish I owned Horseman's Park, but actually the horsemen own Horseman's Park, and you know, I'm just feel fortunate to be here.
Greg, I can't believe we've been racing live this many years there since the upstart here of Horseman's.
Oh, I know it. It's been, you know, this is the 12th year, and it's just unbelievable. I mean, the time just flies, but, you know, it seems like they were just in at Fawner yesterday, and now they're here today. So it's exciting, though. We just had a little thunderstorm move through, so that was a little depressing, but it didn't dampen our spirits. We're ready to roll.
Greg, I guess everybody's amazed at maybe the quality of horses you guys get in when it's only a four-day meet. You continue to raise the purses at Horseman's Park, and you continue to get quality horses.
This year the 50,000, it's bigger and better than ever. We got 12 entered in it when I just talked to the racing office. They have 12, and believe it or not, the defending champion can't get in, doesn't have enough earnings to get in this year. So it's going to be a quality field. We got them coming from Prairie Meadows, Canterbury, and Arlington Park. So Sunday's race probably will be one of the better ones we've had.
Well, the next couple of weeks are definitely the event and then the atmosphere around the event with the Cox Classic next weekend and live racing at Horseman's Park this weekend. I'll tell you what, we got our first chance to be there for the live race. I've been to Horseman's many times, but to be there for the live races just last year was the first time. We were both blown away by that. If folks from our listening area actually haven't been there, what's the best way to describe what goes on the next 4 days?
Well, Hal, that's, you know, tonight will be a little prelude to tomorrow night. You know, we have on the Fritz kind of warms them up tonight, the band, and then tomorrow night is the night to be here. You know, that's the party night. I mean, the Friday night's just amazing. The band plays on till 11 or so after the races. We added a race this year, so we have five races Friday night. And it's just such a festive atmosphere. And the horsemen and everybody that comes, you know, they start seeing people that they used to see at Exarban, and it's like old home week, you know. It's like, I haven't seen you since, you know, remember in 86 when we bet on or, you know, whatever. It's just a blast.
Greg, with all the success that you guys have enjoyed with this live meet, has there ever been talk of expanding it?
We'd love to. The problem is we're landlocked. You know, we have no land around us that we can purchase or to build more barns. You know, we have a problem with the barn area. We can only house about 100 horses, and so they have to ship in from somewhere. And State Fair Park, the State Fair Board, you know, they've always been gracious enough to let the horses stay there for an extra week and then ship over here. So that's where the bulk of the horses come from. Now, next year, we'll be operating State Fair Park as Lincoln Racecourse. And so, you know, we may be able to tweak the circuit next year to where maybe we ran a couple of weekends. But beyond that, we'd have to have some major construction going on.
Milt doesn't want to give up the golf, huh?
Well, I think Milt would. I think for the right price, I think they'd sell out, but therein lies the problem, is the right price.
Yeah. Greg Hosh, the general manager of Horseman's Park in Omaha, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Live thoroughbred racing with the post times tonight and tomorrow at 6, Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock. Now, it's not
10-race card or 11-race card, but you did add a race this year. You've got 19 total races, and, I mean, you've got every, pretty much, I would say, everything that you would expect if you've gone to Fawner, if you've gone to Lincoln. I mean, it's just like any other normal race day. It's just a different venue.
Yep, exactly. You know, but we're fortunate that we only run 4 days and it's such a happening, you know, it's a festival. So, you know, and that's the atmosphere we try to put on, you know. And this Sunday we started something new. We're trying something new, Family Fun Day. We're going to have inflatables, face painting, pony rides for the kids, and Robert's Dairy sponsoring the day. They're going to have free frozen treats for the kids. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
I got to say, that frozen beer almost.
Yeah. Well, now we do. We do have frozen margaritas, so that's new this year. It comes in a little pouch, and it's frozen. We tried them out on our employee bus trip to State Fair Park, and I think the employees are going to expect this to each meet, so I can't wait till next year so we can get out there to Fawner Park.
Well, if I may say, there is plenty to try and experiment with at Horseman's Park. Greg, I know you're very busy today. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show, and the big fella will be bouncing around. Just don't throw him out while he's down there this weekend.
Definitely not.
Greg, thanks for the time. Have a great weekend.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Greg Haas, general manager of Horseman's Park in Omaha. Again, 6 o'clock tonight and tomorrow, 2 o'clock post time, Saturday and Sunday.
Just an awesome place. If you're a horse racing fan at all, if you're just a fan of going around, it's basically a small town festival. If you go to Worst Dog and enjoy that, if you go to Check Days and enjoy that, it's the same atmosphere.
What's that thing they do in Houston or in Eustis?
Worst Dog.
Is that what that is?
Worst Dog, yeah.
Chicken Days in Wayne, maybe.
There you go. It's just a fun time. A lot of people. You will know people when you arrive. I haven't saw you, like he said.
Yeah, it's a good time, and we appreciate it. We appreciate Greg joining us. We have our Big 12 football preview with Kansas, and Dugan Arnett of the Lawrence Journal World is going to join us right after this.
It was just last week when a Doug and Daddy listener was overheard making this remark.
Gonads are useful for their purpose, but they are no substitute for brains.
Guess that about sums it up.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. You have to meet with clients and colleagues, but business travel is a profitability killer. Airline ticket, cab, hotel, tips, meals, ticket alone, $300. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting.com, $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. You can host 5 meetings or 5,000 for $49 a month. It's the award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix with just a click. You can host sales presentations, training sessions, product demonstrations, or collaborative sessions from your desk. No more flying. No more leaving town. The tips alone on a travel trip cost you more than GoToMeeting.com. My listeners in the herd get it free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. How? Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Colin. That's GoToMeeting.com. Promo code Colin.
Escape the Monday blues with cheap wings and retro beer at the Brass Ring Sports Lounge. Enjoy 40-cent wings and retro brands of beer for just $1.50 every Monday. Then start your weekend early on Thursday nights with bowl fries for $6.99 and long neck bottles for just $1.25 during happy hour from 4:30 to 6:30. Exclusively at the Brass Ring Sports Lounge, located inside the Quality Hotel, Hastings.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans, available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers, and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
We'll see some showers and storms continue to affect the area, especially early today, a few of which may even become severe with high temperatures of 79, Wednesday variable at 10 to 15. Tonight will fall off to 54 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 63.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Joe DeMail, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Coming up on the last segment and next, Dugan Arnett for the Lawrence Journal World is our Big 12 football preview. We'll continue here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. Ken, who hangs around his computer a lot during this hour, says, why is it that offensive boys always get all the credit? When we were talking about favorite, or well, we were talking about best Huskers. He says my two favorite Huskers were Mike Minner and Mike Brown. These guys were wicked good. Yeah, but they're never going to be considered the best that ever played the game at Nebraska. But you're right on that point, Ken. He goes, my least favorite Huskers were all the defensive backs. Did you know that Lincoln built the St. Elizabeth Burn Center just to treat these guys? Oh. Seeing our DBs got burnt that bad?
Were Mike Brown and Mike Minner defensive backs?
I don't know what Ken puts in his... See, being a huge Notre Dame fan that he is, I know he puts something in his coffee in the morning. So, Ken, you crazy little guy, thanks so much for firing it off to the Dent Popper inbox. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. 1-888-455-ESPN is the phone number. And it's Thursday. It's time to get back to the Big 12 North and our Big 12 preview.
12 days, 12 schools, one child, and two guys.
Certainly take their football seriously, don't they?
It's the Big 12 preview on the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Well, Baylor yesterday, we go back to the Big 12 North, and we're pleased to welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show Dugan Arnett from the Lawrence Journal World. Dugan, thanks so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show, and welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Well, Dugan, I actually made my first ever trip to Lawrence, Kansas last weekend, and went to tour. We had a wedding, so, you know, those are exciting. But went to tour Allen Fieldhouse and the football field, and wow, everything's closed. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, there's some pretty heavy construction going on there. I don't know what, at this point, I don't know what's open and what's not, so I don't know what you saw. You'd be wise to come back when it's all opened up and get to take the full tour. It's a pretty amazing, especially Allen Fieldhouse. You know, a lot of history. There's basically a museum kind of in the basement of it, or in the first floor. So it's a pretty cool place.
And then since we're talking football, let's talk about that. They're redoing the surface there. Tell us a little bit about what that's going to look like when they're all done.
Well, they haven't said exactly what it's going to look like. A few people have clamored for a bigger mascot at midfield, kind of similar to what they have at Allen Fieldhouse, the huge Jayhawk. But I don't know if that's going to happen. They've got the field turf going in. That's kind of like the popular turf, nationwide, high school and college. So they've got that going in, and they seem pretty excited about it. I guess it's been about 10 years or so since they last redid the turf. So I think the players are pretty excited about it, coaches as well.
Well, Dugan, you haven't covered the Kansas Jayhawks for 30, 40 years, so you weren't with them during the bad times. I guess a great time to start covering those when Todd Reesing's at the helm.
Yeah, not too bad. I missed the 2007 season, which was a little disappointing. That would have been the year to cover them, I think. But last year 8-5, won the Inside Bowl. You can't really complain about that. And then this year, you know, it seems they've got pretty much everybody at every skill position coming back. So I mean, it's people around here are pretty excited, and I think it's got the potential to be a pretty big year for them.
Dugan Arnett from the Lawrence Journal World joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's take a look at Kansas, because a lot of people. the talk, we're about halfway through our Big 12 preview here on the show. The talk is that the South has separated themselves so far from the North and that the North has been left to Nebraska and Kansas to win. Kansas has a chance to have a heck of a lot of momentum by the time they get to that Nebraska game. Here's a team that, if they take care of business, should be very well could be 8-1 with that only loss to Oklahoma in my mind, and then they have to finish with Nebraska, Texas, and Missouri. Is that the thought that's going around, Lawrence?
I mean, yeah. I think I want to say the seventh game is Oklahoma, so you know people are figuring them to be, you know, to be 6-0. I think going into that Oklahoma game, I could be a game or two off there.
No, that's
but,
right. That's right.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much the thought process. I mean they should pretty much breeze through. You hate to say that, but they should breeze through the non-conference schedule, and then they start off the conference season with a couple of weaker teams. So I mean they have a chance to build some pretty good momentum going into that. That later portion of the schedule that's not going to be as forgiving.
Dugan, they're going to have to find some linebackers because they lost them all. Is that the biggest weakness of this team?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, except to say, you know, they moved a couple of guys around on the offensive line. The offensive line was pretty young last year, but they got guys coming back. So I think that the linebacker situation is going to be the toughest. They lose three guys, all of which, you know, I think were honored in some form by the Big 12, you know, throughout their careers. But they've got some young guys. They've got a couple of guys, or one guy in particular that's transferred in, a junior college All-American by the name of Vernon Brooks, that should be pretty good. And then what everybody's kind of excited about is a real physical running back from last year, Angus Quigley, real big guy, 6'2". I want to say something like 230. He's moved to linebacker, and you know, with his combination of size and speed, I mean they're figuring that, I guess, you know, he could be a pretty good option back there, I guess.
Our Big 12 preview continues on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're looking at the Kansas Jayhawks today with Dugan Arnett of the Lawrence Journal World. I want to get back to that offensive line. Is it going to be good enough to hold blocks for Todd Reesing and for running back Jake Sharp?
I think so. I think it'll be pretty comparable to last year. Maybe a little bit better, just based on the fact that they've, you know, some of the younger guys will have, you know, a little bit more experience. Jeremiah Hatch and Jeff Spikes are two guys that were freshmen last year. They'll both be back. One has moved to center, which is Hatch's natural position, and the one he played in high school and everything. So he's moving back there. I think it won't be necessarily their strongest suit, but I think it'll be something that, you know, they'll be able to get by, and you know, I think it'll be pretty comparable to last year as well.
Dugan, they've moved a tight end to left tackle in Tanner Hawkinson, big kid. The coaches love his work ethic. Do you know much about him?
Not a whole lot yet. You know, he's a young guy yet, and spring practices, all but two of them were closed to the media. So we haven't got a real good opportunity to see him yet. Come August, you know, once they start, they'll open up a couple practices in August as well, and that'll be kind of the first time that anybody in the media has really, you know, got a chance to see him practice and play at that position a little bit. Coaches haven't said a whole lot about it. Just kind of the coach speak type stuff about, you know, they say he's adjusting well and everything, and you know, obviously they've had some success moving guys around to different positions in the past. So I think it's something they feel comfortable with and feel pretty good about.
Dugan, is this one of the cases where Kansas is going to have to put the points on the board so that their defense isn't feeling the pressure, especially in the non-conference?
Yeah, I think so. Their offense is explosive, and that's kind of what they hang their hat on. I mean, that's you can't really get around that. Although, I think the defensively, besides the linebackers, I mean, their defensive line, I think that the team feels that they're going to do a little bit better job this year of being able to put some pressure on opposing quarterbacks, which is something they struggled a little bit with last year. And if they do that, I mean, I think they might have a little bit of success. That's something, you know, last year they weren't able to get a lot of quarterback pressure, and so, you know, the defense, the secondary kind of suffered for that. So if they're able to do that, they could be a little bit improved from last year. But like you said, you know, offense is going to be real important for Kansas. When you got Todd Reesing, playing quarterback and you got receivers like Desmond Briscoe and Kerry Meyer, I mean, you're expected to score some points, and I think they will.
Yeah, former quarterback Kerry Meyer set a school record a year ago, 97 receptions. It looks to improve on that. Dugan, before we let you get out of here, we've been asking everybody, who do you like to see playing in the championship game come the first week in December, and who's your offensive and defensive players of the year in the Big 12?
Man, that's tough. I just filled out my picks too. Yikes. I like Oklahoma, and I like Oklahoma again just because I feel like that's a little bit safer pick with Bradford. I mean, McCoy had that rough sophomore year, and so I don't know. I'm gonna go with Oklahoma, and then yikes, between Nebraska and Kansas, it's a toss up. But I'm gonna say
you can homer us.
Well, I hate to do that. I'm gonna say Kansas just based on the fact that the Kansas Nebraska game, which is what I think will determine the North, is going to be played in Lawrence this year. So, and Kansas has developed kind of a pretty good home field advantage in the last couple of years. So, I'll go Kansas and Oklahoma, I guess.
All right, Dugan, we'll let you get out of here with that. We sure appreciate you giving us some time previewing the Kansas Jayhawks here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Dugan Arnett, Lawrence Journal World, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. One of our new young kids that's coming into the business and working down there at the University of Kansas in Lawrence, and of course now with the Lawrence Journal World. Boy, so far, what are we, halfway home? Four Oklahomas, an Oklahoma State, and a Texas.
Oklahoma.
We'll make our picks next Friday on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Yeah, you know, he mentioned about the defensive line. Well, Kansas ranked 114th out of 119 schools against the pass last season. So the defensive line is going to have to be much improved to get some pressure on that opposing quarterback.
Last thought, and then we're going to talk to Joe DeMeo. That Nebraska game is in Lawrence, at Texas Tech, at Kansas State, home against Nebraska, at Texas. It's their only home game in that four-week stretch where they have to play some of their rivals like Kansas State, Texas, and then, of course, Missouri. They play that game in Kansas City. So
it's going to be a night. You know it's going to be a night.
Well, if both teams hold up their end of the bargain, yeah, that will be the story. Well, it is a Thursday, and that means time to catch up with Joe DeMeo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. And as we said last week when we talked with the All-Star break, there's really not baseball to talk about. We've been looking forward to football. We've been talking a lot of football. Joe, welcome back to the show. You want to start football or you want to start baseball today?
Now, hey, guys, how you doing? Now, the Fantasy Players Edge 2009 preliminary player rankings were released yesterday. So if you want to talk a little NFL, fantasy football, let's do it. If you want to circle back on baseball, we're good to go. Either way.
I want to ask you this. When it comes to football, there's two, now there's three ways. I'm not a big guy into the special, you know, picking defensive players. And then you also have two ways to do it, a straight draft and an auction. Which one do you like?
I'm still partial to the straight draft, but the auction format is gaining popularity. I feel like both of those formats still leave you with the same situation, that you have to build the best team imaginable through the draft, which is more important than football and baseball. So it shouldn't be overemphasized either way. If you're in an auction format, once you spend your money, you've got to play that team. If you're in a snake draft format, once you've gone through your 15 or 16 rounds, you've got to play that team. And you don't have the ability to make the adjustments as easily in fantasy football as you do fantasy baseball. So format-wise, choose your poison. I am still traditionally like the snake draft. I think it's still a little bit more interesting for me, and I think you see a little bit more gambling in that format than you do in auction formats.
Joe, I want another tip for players out there. How long do you wait to pick up, say, a tight end, a kicker, a defense?
Yeah, that's the great question. I'll answer the question differently. I won't take a defense before round 9. I won't take a tight end before round 10. And I'll take a kicker in the last round in virtually any format that I'm in. And if I'm in an auction format, a kicker will be the last person I even think about purchasing.
Jenna Mayo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com joins us here, as he does every Thursday on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're both into fantasy football a little bit, probably me a little more, our producer engineer Derek as well. I go in, I think I was in three last year, which is plenty. I go in with a pretty open mind. I don't have a set strategy, I guess is what I'm saying. I kind of go more by feel, because you never know. All the drafts I'm in, you don't know where you're going to pick. It's a blind draw each year. And if you get the number one pick, well, maybe that sets you up one way. Or if you get the number nine pick in a 12-guy draft, maybe all the running backs you want are gone, and so you take that first quarterback or you do something. I might pick a Bears defense or the best defense in the fifth or sixth round if I've got who I want. Is that the right strategy, or should you definitely have a written-down game plan going into your draft?
No, it's the right strategy. You need to be flexible. You need to adjust to what's happening in front of you. You need to be very, very cognizant of how positions are coming off the draft board. Typically, there's a run on positions. And, you know, if quarterbacks start going in round three, they typically go from round three to round five. So you have to be flexible. Let's get back to your earlier point. You're in the first round. You got the 12th pick in a 12-team league. Every single top flight running back is off the board. You're probably better off going for a Randy Moss or a Larry Fitzgerald there, assuring yourself at least of the best wide receiver, and then maybe turn around because, you pick 13 after that and try to grab maybe a Brandon Jacobs or even a Clinton Portis or take a flyer on Joseph Addai or somebody like that. The one thing I do advise people is when five rounds are said and done, it's in your interest to have two running backs, two receivers, and probably a decent quarterback. Where you get them, I think, is a function of what you just said, being flexible, knowing where you sit in the draft, who's available, and what you need to do to be competitive that season. But if you don't have two primary running backs by round five, and that means even Jamal Lewis in round five, a guy who's going to get most of the totes, you're going to find yourself chasing all year long.
Well, Joe, it's interesting here. We play in a format. It's all scoring. You can rush for 140 yards, not score. You get 0 points. Now, a lot of people out there, that's a dumb format. Well, that's a format we play here. And we look for sleepers. Are there sleepers out there? Some of you think is going to get a lot of touches, either running back or wide receiver position this year?
Well, I mean, you're saying you play in a touchdown format. Is that
right? Right.
So then you got to look at a guy up in Seattle, like the big kid up in Seattle who plays fullback, and his name will come to me in a moment. I was just thinking about him the other day. T.J. Duckett.
Okay.
You got to look at players like that who may get two, three carries and three scores. When you're playing in an all-or-nothing format, that creates an entirely different set of criteria when you go into a draft mode. So certainly you're not going to really look at a running back who's got great yardage, but maybe doesn't get the touches around the goal line that you're looking for. A classic example of that would be Willie Parker or Darren McFadden or any of those type of running backs who typically give way at the goal line.
Or even Adrian Peterson when Chester Taylor comes in.
Well, yeah, but Adrian Peterson, I think, is a horse of a different color because he can score from anywhere on the field at any point. So, he's a different – but Michael Turner in that format, to me, is a better draft pick. Steven Jackson's a better draft pick in that format. LaDainian Tomlinson is a better draft pick in that format because those guys thrive on goal line touches.
Daddy is just absolutely going crazy trying to put all these notes down. Thank God the draft is not for another couple of months or month and a half here. We're running towards the top of the hour, but I want to get one more question into you real quick. I'm always hesitant about those guys that last year were the 20th best running back and this year are number two on the board. I see some significant jumps this year. We threw Matt Forte's name out before, but in your regular draft, and on your list, who has made the biggest jump of any player from last year to this year?
Well, that's a great question. That'd be D'Angelo Williams. Last year he was was an afterthought fourth or fifth round draft pick. This year we have him ranked seventh, behind only Peterson, Turner, Jackson, Drew, Tomlinson, and Matt Forte. That is a precipitous jump from fourth or fifth round afterthought, timeshare with Jonathan Stewart to one of the top seven picks in all of fantasy football.
Joe, we'll let you get out of here. We'll talk a lot of baseball as we get back into it, but I know we were both chomping at the bit to talk a little football today, and we always appreciate it. And, folks, for all of your fantasy needs and all the information, more than we can even talk about in our segment every week, go to fantasyplayersedge.com. Get signed up. There's a lot of free information, some that you want to sign up for. That'll get you inside with Joe at fantasyplayersedge.com. Joe, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.
Take it easy, guys. Have a terrific week.
Thanks. Joe DiMaio joins on the Doug and Daddy Show. We give you one more recap on the leaderboard at the British Open, and then we finish things up on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
The answer.
644.
The question.
How many complaint letters have we gotten on the Doug and Daddy Show in the last month?
It's time for you and your family to get out there and enjoy the sports you love even more. And BP Gasoline with Invigorate is going to make it possible with a grand prize of $2,000.
Visit ESPNRadio.com to vote for the MLB Player of the Week. Then check out the Upgrade Your Sports Life sweepstakes fueled by BP Gasoline with Invigorate.
Have you ever wanted to take the family to an away game with your favorite team? Support your high school's cheerleading squad? Go to a sports camp? Outfit your kid's little league team? Well, one lucky grand prize winner will have the chance to make that dream come true. Thanks to BP Gasoline with Invigorate. Help cars run younger for longer.
Rain. What harm could a little water do to your deck? An inch of rainfall over 1 acre equals 27,000 gallons. That's roughly 1.5 gallons per square foot. Count the square feet of your deck. Now multiply by the inches of rain that fall on that wood annually. You don't need to do the math to know all that water adds up. Made with the finest oils and pigments, Cabot Stains have been protecting wood against rain for over 130 years. Cabot. Our performance is legendary. Visit CabotStain.com for the retailer nearest you.
Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam.
Sam!
Because upgrading your central air system to a high-efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Oh, sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high-efficiency Trane model at Fidelki Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a train.
BioGuard, the products to keep your pool water soft and crystal clean. Hi, this is Doug Detterding reminding you nothing is better than BioGuard water treatment to kill bacteria and algae and to protect against scale corrosion and staining. We are the BioGuard water professionals with both the product knowledge and experience. We're Detterding Swimming Pool Headquarters, 2nd Avenue in Kearney and just south of Whiskey Creek in Grand Island.
Choose better things at Detterding. It's a quality of life.
ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather. Brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on 25th Street in Kearney. For a square deal and a fair shake.
If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see some showers and storms continue to affect the area, especially early today, a few of which may even become severe with high temperatures of 79, Wednesday variable at 10 to 15. Tonight will fall off to 54 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 63.
You get a shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime. Sound of the river, you're stopping your whole everything.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Going to take a look at that British Open leaderboard to finish out the show here in just a second. But Texas baseball coach Augie Garrido has been sentenced to 4 days in jail on a drunken driving conviction. His attorney, Michael Burnett, said his client was sentenced this morning. Burnett said Garrido has 2 days credit for time served and that Travis County officials will determine how the rest of the sentence is carried out.
That means he's not going to jail, people.
I was
going to
say.
That means he's going to sit around, have some wine, and sign some autographs with the sheriff's deputies.
Burnett said Garrido will serve the rest of the sentence before August 15th. Garrido was also fined $500 and had his driver's license suspended for 90 days. Garrido was arrested in downtown Austin in January after a police officer noticed he was driving without his headlights on. He pleaded guilty 2 weeks later. Okay, again, though, Augie can do good here. He can do good than just sitting there going, So I'm guessing that's probably exactly what will happen. Tom Watson and Ben Curtis have the lead at the British Open, both at 5-under. Those have finished their round at 4-under. John Senden, Steve Stricker, along with Camilo Villegas, also at 4-under, is Stuart Sink, Matt Goggin, Miguel Angel Jimenez, and Frederick Jakobsen are on the course, both at 4-under par. Vijay Singh was at 3-under. Mike Weir shot 3-under. On the course, how about John Daly, 3-under through 12. Paul Casey, 3-under through 13.
You got to wonder what hole the wheels will come off on for John. Hopefully it doesn't happen. We're cheering for you, John. You don't know me.
John just said thanks.
Like I know me.
Now the beer's a little stronger over there. It might get to him a little earlier than normal.
You don't know why mountains I climb are the ones that I choose.
Our Big 12 preview continues tomorrow with Texas Tech. Who joins us, Daddy?
Well, Chris Level. Hopefully. Chris Level. We are hoping for Chris Level. He's our man.
And he is going to join us tomorrow as our Big 12 football preview continues. Today, we want to thank Dugan Arnett of the Lawrence Journal World for giving us a look at the Kansas Jayhawks. Also want to thank Greg Hosh, general manager of Horseman's Racetrack in Omaha. Live racing that big weekend starts tonight, 6 o'clock post time tonight, tomorrow, 2 o'clock over the weekend. And as always on Thursday, Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Who was your favorite Husker? Who was the best Husker? Who's the most overrated or underrated Husker, I guess we should say? Shoot off your email to the Dent Popper inbox. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
See you 23 hours from now, 1460 in Kearney, 1550 our friends in Hastings.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.